previously on HP Oddcast with Seymour Swan.
The most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me in stand-up was when I was new. I don't know how new, but I can't remember. But there was a lady in the front, and I hit a... She wasn't laughing at my jokes. And at that point, I was like, just looking at her. Meanwhile, it was, let's say, 40 other people laughing.
Yeah.
But I just focused on her because she was dead center and just looking at me, you know? And I had said something like, you know, why aren't you laughing? You know, does your facelift hurt? And everyone laughed, but somebody told me they saw some scars. And you know something? She got up, and she had a white Russian... And she threw it in my face.
Wow. Oh, was her name Bernice?
I don't know her name, but she threw it in my face. But, you know, unbeknownst to her, my mom was in the audience.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't know my mom had a good left hook.
Oh.
Yeah. Your mom had 3 scars on her face.
Not a girl had 4. My mom handled her business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was this going well when you were on stage, or you found this out later on?
Right after I got off, because after the woman, you know, dude, the cup, she was gone. She didn't like status. She wasn't that badass.
You can't do it anymore with Bloomberg, dude. Everybody get arrested.
Yeah. Especially if it's a 32 ounce.
And now, part 2 with my interview with Seymour Swan.
I don't respond to them, though. No, joke.
Be successful.
No, they don't. They don't.
That somebody doesn't show up. Your time goes down.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. There's some shows, if you have to bring, let's say, 6, and you bring 4,
that's it.
They
that's
cut your dime.
Yeah. That's right.
They cut your dime. And some of them are brutal enough to say, well, come back next week with the 6.
Right, just let your people stay here and enjoy the show. You're not getting up.
I've learned it firsthand. You're into sports. I'm into sports. Mm-hmm. Especially in the sports world, dude. The Knicks, just the last few years, everything's a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And players know that. I'm a Jets fan, like football. Like, it's a business, man. They cut, nothing breaks my heart more than a guy that is practiced his whole life for the NFL and gets in and then
and all of a sudden
rips his knee apart the first week of, you know, minicamp.
Right, and what did I study
and
in college?
Done.
Yeah, and he's done. Yeah.
For life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you, I mean, that's,
yeah,
and that, it's business.
Yeah.
Everything is business.
It is. It's just, in that sense, it's one thing, but in comedy, just the business of just looking someone in the eye and saying that to them has always bothered me.
Me too.
You know, like I say, I don't...
Looking at business,
you know,
saying what?
You gotta bring me 15 people.
Yeah. But those people don't... They live... They're miserable people. If you do that, you're not a happy person.
Yeah. I can't do it.
Oh, you know a lot of people here.
I don't
pretty much like...
You know, I don't like it. I mean, same with like when I met HP and other stuff. I tell, listen, if you... Just put a... If you're on Facebook, just put an ad that you're going to be at the show.
Yeah.
And then if someone comes because of it, fine.
And then they call the club, and I had people come to me. They call the people that were supposed to see me for the midnight show, call the club, and they booked them for the 10 o'clock show. I was like, oh my God, come on out now.
Yeah.
Not only do you bring people.
Yeah, I've had that happen quite a bit. I've had to have my own hotline now, my own hotline number. You know, like you call this number, you'll speak to me or one of the guys personally.
Hello.
We'll put you on the reservation list.
Right. And we'll book you for the 8
a lot of them,
show.
Like, remember, like, the 10 o'clock would be over, or they would be leaving, and they're like, I thought you were on the show. No, I'm on the next show.
Yeah.
They told me. You know, and they're pissed, and the whole 9. So,
come back next week, and they're like, I don't, okay. And then I never see them after that because HP.
Because they're pissed. They just got a bill for X amount of money, and they never saw you.
I got a quick question for you guys. Is New York considered, like, the number one, like, comedy, you know? So you know how, like, there's certain, like, Phoenix several years ago when I was out there was up and coming in the music scene.
Yeah.
Scottsdale's,
I think,
ranked 3 or 4 or 5 in the art scene.
Yeah.
Is New York City, Manhattan, I guess, here
I think New York is probably definitely number one.
Nice.
And it's better because in L.A., you know, in L.A., you can get bumped. You know, by Arsenio Hall and not get on for 2 hours and not even get on. You can get bumped, you know, Bill Cosby could walk in.
Sure.
So you have a lot more celebrities that will come into these clubs and just bump you.
Right.
You know, here, you know, you may get one once in a while, but it is not every week that such and such is in town.
Right.
Such and such is in town.
Right.
So you have a better shot of getting on, getting your spot.
If you want to be a good comic, you're here. If you want to get a sick comic, you go to L.A.
Yeah. Right. You kind of own your crap a little bit better here,
uh-huh.
and then go out and then see what's what.
So can you say you haven't been hindered staying in New York City? You think you would have moved to L.A. or Chicago?
I had the opportunity. I wouldn't move.
No,
my wife don't want to move, so...
Right.
You know, where she's at, that's where I'm gonna be. You know what I mean?
And you can get anything done, even a sitcom in New York.
Yeah. Well, I used to ghostwrite from here.
From you used to act too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you acting?
I did a couple of bit parts in some movies. I did some commercial.
You can mention the movies.
HBO stuff. Nah.
Oh, that.
The residuals are down to like $5 now.
So. No, I was in a few too, and it's like people ask.
It's
like,
fine.
I got shot.
I got shot too. My first one.
Eddie was in Something Free.
No, I was in one of, I forget the name. It was a big, man, big, huge movie, but like I was.
Not Caligula.
My no. No. I never even see Caligula.
Oh, hey, lucky you.
But
never
it was with that. Jamie Foxx and one of those like, you know, shoot 'em up movies. Mm-hmm. But I was like the guy, my character was like the third neighbor that got shot on the lawn.
I got blown up behind a wall.
That was your character name?
No, it should have been. It should have been.
Blown up.
It's like when the credits rolled, it was like, you know, dude that got blown up.
Probably. Yeah, nowadays.
I got blown up quick too. It was like probably the first, probably 4 minutes.
You don't
of the
see
movie.
It, yeah.
And then they cut it out on top of that.
Yeah,
they cut it out on top of that.
You see, that's not.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when people ask, I do what you just did. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Yeah.
Even,
yeah. I did an independent movie, College Vibe, which was a good movie. That didn't get cut out, but the movie didn't get sold.
Right on. I did one of those.
Yeah. So like, I have the only copy, I think, because it just didn't get sold.
Which will now be on HPProductions.net.
Yeah. It's gonna be on Oddcast.
But you were always the dreamer, right? You always your wife guides you. She's the realist.
Yeah.
I told her this. She's so realist. She'll probably go up to Benjamin Franklin and tell him, listen, why are you flying that kite in this storm? Put that shit back in the house.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's straight to the point. She doesn't, you know, pull no punches.
But see, if it wasn't for that, the dreamers would not have anything to gauge against, because we're thinking, no, I'm going to fly this kite and see if I get shocked to death, and that's how you come up with electricity.
You know, no, she's the right, you know, tandem for me, because she's the type that, you know, will kick in your ass and say, go do what you love and, you know, enjoy and do, you know, because, you know, she's in my act and stuff like that when I talk about us, because, you know, she's Puerto Rican and I'm black, so there's just material
all over the place.
So, you know, she loves it. She's like, I don't care if my friends are there. Do what you got to do. Say what you got to say. You know, I know nothing you're saying is malicious. So to speak, we're just, you know, sharing my life with her and stuff like that. I even talk about my son in my act. I talk about, you know, him being half black, half Puerto Rican. There's a joke.
At least you want to jump on this, right? Yes,
we have black Puerto Ricans, too. Maybe you want to turn around and talk to him in Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully he won't
answer you. Black Jews in the audience? Please, no.
That's it.
Balance, what you just described.
Balance is important to me because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm more blessed that I, you know, I go home to a great wife and my kids are great.
And your parents, they're still alive. Your father's in his 80s, so is your mom. And your mother thinks that you're very funny, and your father...
Yeah, my mother loves to act, but she cringes every curse word. So, like, you see her in the morning, she's like... Oh.
You curse a lot in your act?
Not a lot, but to her, 2 curse words is 10.
That's enough.
Fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, as I told mom, I'll come to the fucking show.
God damn it. What do you mean?
See your old ass home.
I had a real quick cursing story. I was living in Arizona, one of my first friends out there, I was working with this dude. We actually worked at Frederick's Hollywood, which was an interesting job in itself.
But, oh, yeah.
So he was Mormon, and I wasn't driving. That's a great guy. And, you know, I'm coming from New York City, Bronx, you know, so on and so forth, and I'm cursing all the time. You know, we don't mean to curse. We're cursing. Yeah. Most of us from the city here, you know. And, he's like, dude, you got to stop cursing around me. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
He has a Starbucks in his right hand. Like, what's your problem, man?
Yeah, I kept like
his fucking vodka in the other hand.
What?
He cut me off.
What?
The next day, he didn't come to pick me up. And I called him up. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's just like, you can't curse around me, dude. I'm Mormon. We don't like to curse. And I'm like, they're just words. I mean, it's just fucking words, dude. What the fuck?
Fucking words.
So, long story short, he said something to me to take a... And I started taking a look at it. But it's hard to not, you know, curse. But I learned to train myself around him. And I always think of that.
Hey, she just cringes a little. I don't curse a lot. But, I mean, but I like to feel free to do what I want. You know what I mean? When I'm on stage. I mean, obviously, if it's a Letterman thing or whatever, you're limited. But in general, I think I don't want to just harp on freedom of speech, but in general, I like to know that I can do what I want to do.
Right,
and
no breaks.
Yeah, yeah. And I've learned to do it in a way where it's like smoothing over the dirtiness. You know what I mean? There's a way to do it.
Well, it's a way to inflect speech and punctuate things, but it's not the content of your joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
it doesn't
your tone of voice is probably the most important.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, there's lots of ways to say fuck you to somebody, and it's 100%. Me versus, like you said, I'm just talking.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
100%.
Now, your father's, I've been told that your father had never been to one of your shows.
No.
Why?
No. He can't hear.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Well, that'll do it.
So why don't you have one of those people? So he would just watch everybody else, and when you laugh, he'll go, you know, I'll just wave at someone else.
Somebody laughing at a woman falling.
Yeah.
Oh, that's part of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm urinating on this chick the other day.
That's
awesome. Yeah, right?
Are like you saying you should have like one like
a little side guy on the side?
Then they do that on SNL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today's news.
Yeah.
The guy screaming it on the side.
Yeah, he's not been to the show at all. And you know, like even my mom, she's only been to two.
Yeah,
yeah. She doesn't, you know.
But they know you. They know.
Oh, I've seen tapes and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Dad knows what I'm doing. He's, you know, I was expressive, proud of his. You know, I do a lot with my dad because he's. Granddad, 77 or something. I don't know. But you know, I take him like to his doctor's appointment, and it's like it's actually the biggest comedic moment for me ever when I take him because he can't hear.
Right.
Yeah. So everything the doctor wants, you know, him to do, I have to yell.
You have to translate.
Yeah. So I went there one time and he was getting a stool sample.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was. I was like, Dad, pull on your pants. Pull on your pants. And my dad pulled down his pants, and my dad, I think he was 77 or something, right? I've never seen his ass. There's no reason for me to see his ass.
Right.
No, yeah.
And I saw it.
And
I've never seen a 77-year-old ass.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, you don't.
It's just like he's been doing deadlifts for the last 10
years. Yeah. It just looked tired. It was just tired.
That wasn't
tired,
like,
yeah. Just,
that wasn't enough.
You heard his ass just yawn.
It just, yeah, it's just tired.
You know, it's like, oh, shit.
Like the last final fart came out. It was mad tired. But I couldn't. And I just couldn't look, and then to watch the doctor slip on the glove.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
It was just like hello.
It was the worst. But as a comedian, it was just so funny.
Right,
because nobody in my family takes him like I do,
right.
So they don't experience this kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to stand in. I'm like, you know, my dad is like trying to tell me to look away, and I'm like, no, this is funny.
I want
to
run away.
I was like, oh, you got a pen? Need to write this shit.
My brother just turned 40, so he had his check, you know.
Yeah.
And the doctor put his finger in his rear.
Yes.
And I swear to God, he goes, "So I guess you're not gay." And my brother was like, "Oh." And then the doctor goes, "It's a good thing my fingers aren't longer."
That's why I don't check. I've seen my pops. You know, my doctor's always. I'm 50. You know, and he's always like, you know, well, you check it. I do it through the blood because you ain't nothing in me.
Nobody's
yeah.
I tell him right now, if I let you do that, I'm never coming back. You do know
prostate cancer is a checking. Is that what they check?
Colon cancer.
Yeah.
The best. This is at the page 19. No, it is.
Spiritual awakening by Steve Meyer.
This is spiritual. This is nutritional. Coffee is the best thing to prevent, like,
I did hear about that.
Prostate cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Every 5 years those studies change, and they say
no,
worst
but
thing.
It's a bean.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not the sugar, and no, you know, without the milk.
Yeah, yeah, just
black. The chocolate milk is hot. It's fine, you know, chocolate milk's fine.
Well, thank God I'm Colombian.
But the sugar is bad.
I like the coffee, but
the bean is good.
It makes me, it wires me up and down because I have high blood pressure.
Uh-huh.
So I take medicine for high blood pressure, which, you know, puts it regular, and then you drink coffee. And then you're like, you know, it's like I'm cleaning everything in the fucking house. You know?
Right away.
Yeah.
So
and then I get back up and clean.
Yeah. Eddie's online at Starbucks for his latte with a huge heart on. Let me get a venti quadruple espresso latte.
That's true.
I want to stir it.
Yeah. You have a cocoa latte.
Cinnamon is really good for high blood.
There you go, Mr. Tripod Man. Quadruple latte with a tripod man.
Oh, now I was saying that tomato and coffee, the antioxidants in tomato and coffee are good for the prostate.
Yeah.
But not only for the prostate, they're saying it's also good for the prostitute.
Wow.
So, hey.
cinnamon. Cinnamon is good for high blood pressure.
Cinnamon,
yeah.
I like the medicine, but it messes with Mr. Happy too much.
So you don't do caffeine anymore?
I don't. I still do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You limit it.
I want to have like a huge cup.
It's all about balance.
Yeah, yeah. I want to have a huge cup.
Yeah.
Because I have a coffee with like a French vanilla, or I'm good to go. I like blue
tea.
But it, you know, wires me weird.
You know? I actually met that guy, French vanilla.
Sounds like a rap.
That sounds scary.
he wrote the preface. He wrote the
coffee baby.
He wrote the preface to Eddie's last book.
French vanilla.
I've known Eddie for years. He's got a raging prostate.
He's the one guy left. He has a Hitler mustache.
What?
Wow. No, I'm just joking. Nobody ever rocked that again, right?
You see how it
works? No, and he ruined it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Even the hipsters won't even attempt that.
I don't
know.
Hitler, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
I did that doctor thing, and I was like, the minute he was like, okay, you let me know if this is uncomfortable. And the minute he went, I was like, that's it. I'm out of here, doc. I'll see you when I'm 50.
No, I let them do it through the blood.
Yeah.
I just...
You can't, I don't know. I mean, you have to eventually sometime.
You have to do it eventually.
Well, put me to sleep or something.
Knock me out.
I'd rather wake up and don't remember it.
Well, the most important thing is to check your stool all the time.
Yeah.
You always got to check your stool.
It's a drive-by stooling? What do you mean?
No, I mean, look in the toilet and make sure you got a long, hard...
Chapter 19, Spiritual Awakening.
Just check your stool. We've moved from comedy.
If the doctor approaches you with a fist near your anus, please depart the office immediately.
It's like the five doctors that don't know shit. All we know is you have to check your shit.
Okay, so at this point, you're well into your career. You're going into the direction you're going, and then now it's getting a lot of comedians now, and now it's getting more difficult. But you're still doing it well because, as I hear, you're the perfect guy. You're even you're called Mr. Wonderful Father.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I got that.
Mr. Wonderful and
Mr.
Mayor.
Wonderful.
Did you say the mayor?
Yeah.
The mayor of Belleville.
And that now you're into you write a lot at home. How much time do you spend writing?
Two times per week. You know, I'll get into it. You know, I try to write what I feel like writing and not pushing it. Like, looking at that, I'm going to write a joke about that.
Right.
Then you write corny shit. I can't do it.
It doesn't fit you, your personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Something comes to me and then I'll harp on it. You know, I'm looking for it to a certain degree, but I can't just write every and anything. It's just ridiculous.
Like, Kevin now is starting to discipline himself into writing.
Yeah, 5 minutes a day.
That's it.
What I do.
No, that's
a joke.
There's nothing wrong with that.
My ADD kicks in, I can't.
If somehow it turns into a good joke, that's good.
Yeah.
I read
it. Yeah, but I like to let it come to me.
My thing is that I try to write jokes, but life always does it for me.
Yeah.
Which
is the best. The good thing about life is, I mean, you shouldn't forget your jokes on stage when it's life.
Yeah.
That's the easiest part of
it.
Right. When it's your own life, there's no reason to
I mean, you can make
forget,
up things here and there.
Yeah.
Do you find it difficult? I heard you have a bad memory, but do you find it difficult remembering your set? Or
no.
No, that's what comes easy to you.
Yeah, because it's my life.
Because you have a bad memory.
I do?
Yeah.
Why?
That's what they told me. He has an awesome memory.
My wife?
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember to kick her ass when I did
it. I said, so you can basically make
it. You know what it is? Women say that because women remember everything.
Everything.
So she'll say shit that happened 20 years ago, and I'd be like, I don't remember that, man. It was a bag of popcorn in the fucking movie.
And now she's telling everybody, Seymour had bad, man.
If it's something that wasn't important to me, I guess I just don't feel like remembering the shit.
Right.
You know?
Oh, okay.
But she could tell you anything. She can tell you the first time I tied my sneakers in front of her. Just, you know, they just remember shit. I just said, that's because you're nosy. You are good at what
job.
You do, and you're nosy. And she remembers, but, you know, memory? No, I'm great.
Okay.
You know, I do hour on stage like that, not even flinch.
How long does it take you to remember your set? I mean, right off the bat, a couple of practices, then you started, or?
Doesn't take anything. You
just
introduce me, I'm in. I'm done.
Okay.
I've been doing it too long. You know, it's a different process. You know, it's like we say when you know how to do something, it's like second nature.
Okay.
You know? The only thing that you want to remember to fit in is if you want to do something new, when you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, most of the times, I guess you won't do it like your first joke, but you just got to remember when to fit it in and then get back to your set. But I'm memory well.
All right. Thank you for listening to part two with Seymour Swan. Here's some clips of part three, my final part of my interview with Seymour Swan. Now, I heard that you're not very religious.
No.
Spiritual.
No. I'm religious, like, probably within myself, basically.
So,
like, my wife is Catholic.
Right.
And, you know, I'll go to church, but I only go to church when it's, like, an event, like, you know, when Jalen got christened or whatever.
Okay.
But I feel so out of place, because I sit there, I sit next to, and the pastor, preacher, I don't know what they call him for that.
Priest.
But, priest. Okay. Yeah. See?
Father.
See?
with the color.
My point. Yeah.
Are you a black Jew? The guy with the thing here.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. Well, you sure you're not religious?
Yeah, the guy with the mud pies.
No, I find it the same way where if I go to church and I believe it, then it's fun being there. But when you don't believe it, it's no fun.
You know, I'll tell you the true reason why I don't believe it. But first, let me just tell you, when I go, I get embarrassed because my wife knows all the stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, when they talk and they say, hallowed be thy name or whatever, right. And everyone else follows. And I'm just looking at it like, you know, when do I say it? And it's like, you got to kneel down. I'm like, I got to kneel down. My knees hurt.
Kneel down. You know what's happening, yeah.
You know, and I'm waiting, and then I got to wait for him, Jalen, to go up. He's doing the cracker? Yeah. I was like, mad.
Communion.
I was like, yeah, that wasn't even a Ritz, man.
You have to wait for it. You
get stuck in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, come on, man, it's the millennium. Give him a Ritz.
make it a little
Yeah, so I don't know the thing, so she knows all that stuff.
Yeah.
Knows when to jump in and say, you know, whatever is the hymns.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Knows when to control you with guilt.
Yeah.
But is that like a choice or?
It's a choice. And a lot of the choice came from, well, I grew up with, you know, people like Reverend Moon.
Uh-huh.
There's a black preacher. I actually was talking about him the other day. He had 85 cars. Do you remember at all?
Oh, Reverend Ike?
Reverend Ike. There I go.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
He ruined it for me right there. He ruined it for me. And I knew a lot of preachers.
Reverend Ike.
And I knew a lot of preachers
right.
that were, you know, ex-cons or whatever. But they were still con artists, but within the church.
If there's anything you want to plug, please, Seymour Swan.
Well, right now, as far as New Yorkers, if you're in New York, you know people in New York, you're coming in, please come see my show. We haven't been around 25 years for nothing. But thank you guys once again, and please support stand-up comedy.
Yeah, support the arts. Thank you very much.
7unknown.com.
Eddie McGuire, 7unknown.com. Felix Cabrera.
Hey, I'm going to appear in front of all the mirrors in my apartment.
There you go. Exactly. This will be posted on my website.
Thank you.
He's got three fans going.
Kevin McGee,
Did anyone say www.?
No,
you don't have to.
KevinMcGee.net. My website's kind of under construction. I put it up by accident. It's a picture of me. It says I'm from Ontario, Canada. I'm not from Ontario, Canada. I don't know. I can't work that.
I thought that was a joke.
But once again,
it is a joke.
It's part of his hilarity. Once again, I will be on hpproductions.net. Thank you very much for listening, and love you all.